everybody. Welcome to pre-service chat. Great to have you with us today. Kim, it's great to have you in the chair again.
Good to be in the chair, yeah.
Kim, we really appreciated your sermon the other day as you talked us through this concept of fasting, and we're now in a season of Lent.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just talk a little bit about that this morning? Talk to us about Lent.
Yeah. So the season of Lent began this past Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, and it starts off a 40-day period leading up to Easter. So if you look at the calendar, you'll notice that 46 is actually the number of days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, but we don't count Sundays.
Okay.
So we've got 40 days of fasting, of remembrance, of anticipation that leads us to Easter, and a lot of this is in imitation of Jesus,
right,
who heads into the wilderness and fasts for 40 days and is tempted by Satan. And all of this is kind of preparing him as he heads into ministry. And so in the church calendar, we kind of follow that same path of being in the desert for 40 days. And then in the end, we emerge and we celebrate the cross and crucifixion and resurrection. And we're at Easter. And so that's kind of the season we're in.
Yeah. So as we go through this season, I know that we're going to provide some opportunities for some practices and formation things around Lent and all of that. Why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we're going to be trying to do some stuff right in our services. So today we're going to be doing some stuff around Lent through scripture reading and through prayer. And then, of course, we're going to be doing a day of fasting and prayer on March 15th.
Right.
We're going to actually start a fast at sundown on March 14th, which is a Monday, and then at the event on Tuesday evening, we'll break our fast with communion, and in this way, kind of join in some of those Lent themes of repentance and just seeking God in the desert, if you will, before we end up at Easter. And then for Easter, we're going to kind of riff on this journey, and we're going to journey to the cross. Then on Good Friday, we're going to really remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, we'll celebrate his resurrection. Party time.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So when we think of Lent, like, there's this comment that people will say that they're giving up something for Lent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. What is the something? Can it be some things?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit.
Totally.
About it.
So I think in my sermon the other week, I mentioned a couple things that I've done before. I've given up, desserts, like sweet things.
Uh-huh.
I gave up sleeping in, which was kind of crazy. I'm actually really struggling this year on what I should give up. It's nothing has really jumped out at me, which has been interesting. So I'm still, let me know if you're fasting something or you're abstaining from something during the season of Lent, let me know, because maybe I will join you. I think there's lots of different ways that people choose to celebrate it. And something I think that's important to realize too is not just the fasting of something, but obviously there has to be an addition. It's not, oh, we just don't do this one thing and then we just are sad and complain about it all the time. It's like, okay, we're taking something away to then fill that time with something that is intentionally going to draw us closer to God. And so I think both of those are really important aspects of a fast during Lent, or giving something up.
We were talking about that the other day, and I was saying, you know, because I could just see, I would remove something and my time will get filled, right?
Totally.
Unless we're intentional
Scrolling.
About it. Well, I mean, life is going to be busy.
Totally.
So, So what are some of the intentional things that we could help people, maybe just to give them some thoughts, some ideas that they could fill if they're fasting from? What are some things that they could be bringing in?
Yeah. There's lots of really great Lenten devotional that are out there. Brian Zahn has a little book called The Unvarnished Jesus, which is a Lenten devotional, and I'm hoping to go through that this year. Many of you know my brother Alan works with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and so he worked with them to put out a Lenten kind of devotional resource as well. Plus, there's lots of stuff online too. So definitely do some research or even contact us, email us, office@sanishbaptist.com. If you're looking for Lent resources, we'd love to, make some available to you. I don't know if you have any go-tos that you...
Well, I was just thinking if they were going to email us, they might want to email us at sanishbaptist.org.
Oh, what but, did I you know, say?
.com. I bet you Matt's going to have a little bit of fun with this, right?
He'll correct me.
that'll be great. Absolutely. I guess it just made me realize that this is a great opportunity to like you said, maybe some devotional readings. Maybe there's some scripture things. Maybe there's some memorization. Maybe there's music things that we could be leaning into. Maybe there's some good old loving our neighbor time stuff.
Totally.
Maybe we could go, you know what, I'm going to step away from just being on my own, and we're going to invite someone into our place on a more intentional basis. I think it's about intention. Of trying to emulate and be like Christ.
Yes, totally.
You know?
Yeah, maybe we've given up something so that we then have time to go give something to someone else.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So there's a lot of, it feels to me anyways, like there's a lot of bandwidth on what we actually do in there.
Totally.
This past week was Ash Wednesday, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so for you folks who are out on social media, if you were seeing a whole bunch of people with these interesting looking crosses on them, that's all about Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
When we were gathered for prayer, you shared an interesting little take on some of that. I think that'd be good to share.
Part of the Ash Wednesday service or ritual is that you have these ashes and someone will dip their finger in it and draw this cross on your forehead. And the theme of Ash Wednesday is really this, like, from dust I have come, and to dust I will return. It's this remembrance that we are but dust. We are just humans, and that there's a fragility in that, a brokenness in that. And yet, so I just shared, I think it was a prayer or a blessing even, that just focused on reminding us that it can be easy to focus on, like, the downside of that, of like, whoa, are we broken and dust, humans? But also just that reminder of, like, look what God can do with the dust. Like, he can create an entire world out of just his voice speaking. Mm. And he forms us out of dust, but he breathes his life into us to make us who we really are. And so just that reminder in this season of, like, yes, there's a lot of this focus of even a lot of grief focus, a lot of repentance, but at the same time, it's not a season of shaming us or making us feel guilty about our brokenness.
Yeah.
It's this reminder that, right, God can take us, whatever shape we're in, however broken or not we are, and he can make something really beautiful out of us and just allowing him to do that work in us in this season.
Kim, that is cool. I was thinking about, I believe it was Ray Aldred recently who was talking to us, and I literally heard it on a podcast this morning, a similar theme, this idea that we so often can look to Genesis 3.
Yeah.
And that points to our broken, that the fall when we messed up.
Totally.
And yet we start with Genesis 1.
Totally. Yeah.
Created in God's image. And maybe that's a part of what our Lent could be this year, rediscovering the value not only of ourselves, but of others around us, so that we can love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Yeah. Kim, thanks so much for being with us.
No problem.
Looking forward to the season.
Yeah.
So mark your calendars, March 15th. God bless everybody.
Welcome to your announcements this week. I have the Honorable Lindsay Anderson with us. What have you got?
Wow. Well, we've got an important meeting on March 22nd. This is a meeting we've been trying to have, but have had to delay it a few times. So March 22nd, 7 p.m., a Zoom meeting. Mm-hmm. It's our AGM. And so we need you to sign up for that. So hit the website. And there's three things we're going to be handling. So first of all, yeah, thank you. We're going to be dealing with the audited financial statements. We'll be receiving those. Second thing is we'll be receiving some new members.
Nice.
And then the third thing is we're going to be having the conversation around the details to potentially purchase the CPC property, which is a pretty cool deal. So hit the website, sign up, Zoom, March 22nd.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, Kim, you've got a meeting that happens the Tuesday before.
Yes.
Or previous, as we were discussing earlier.
The previous week.
Yes. Yeah.
On March 15th, we are going to be having a day of fasting and prayer. And so we mentioned this last week. We're actually going to begin a fast on Monday the 14th at sundown, 7 p.m., and do a 24-hour fast that will end in an event on Tuesday the 15th at 7 p.m. here at our Wilkinson Road campus, where we will spend some time worshiping God through music, through prayer, just seeking His face as a community. And so we invite you to join us for that.
Yeah, I love it. I'm really looking forward to it. Kim's already started working on the plans, but we need you to sign up for that as well.
Yeah.
Just because there's going to be some helps.
Yeah.
Some things. Kim's going to put together some stuff to help you just through that 24-hour period. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, please hit the website and sign up for that as well.
Yeah, even if you can't come to the event on Tuesday evening, still sign up and register for that event. As, yeah, we're going to be doing prompts and just giving you resources throughout the day so that we can do this as a community. So let's lean in together.
Cool.
That's it.
I'm getting really good at ending the announcements, right? Super good. You'd think I'd be better by now. One clarification for those of you who were paying attention to those announcements. You had your day planner out, you know, and you were just scheduling things in. That AGM that we mentioned that Lindsay so clearly said was going to be on the 22nd. We've had to postpone that a little bit further, and so that is going to be on the 29th of March instead. So for all of you good people who were all ready to come to the AGM, the 29th instead. But otherwise, everything else we said was true, to my knowledge. Either way, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us, whether you're here sitting in a seat or whether you are tuning in online. We're so lucky and so glad and grateful to be able to worship together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. And for those of you in the room, I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started. And I'm going to read this call to worship that's based out of Isaiah 43, verses 19 to 21. So it says this: Let us worship God who has done great things. Let us rejoice in our God who has made a way through the desert of this world. Let us worship God who has caused streams of mercy to flow in the wasteland. We are the people God has formed through Christ, so let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. We praise you, God, for the grace that has saved us. We worship and adore you, great King of glory. So let's sing together. Let's sing, Come, let us worship our King, for He has done great things.
Bow out.
faithful forevermore. You have done great things, we know, and I know you will do it again, 'cause your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, God, you do great things. Savior, your name lifted high, oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things. Yes, you have. Great things, yes? Yeah, he does. Sing, there was a moment when the lights went out.
There was a moment when the lights went out. When death had claimed its victory. The King of love had given up his life. The darkest day of history. Sinners, for every curse is blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake and the veil was torn. A sacrifice was made as the heavens rose. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus.
was a moment.
There was a moment when the sky lit up, a flash of light breaking through. When all was lost, he crossed eternity.
Next song is a song that is a little bit of an older song and might not be as familiar. It's called Desert Song. But this Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Lent after this in a little bit. But this song just felt like it fit really well. So the idea in the season of Lent, we really follow this imitation of Jesus as he heads into the desert and is tempted and stands up under temptation. And so this song is called Desert Song, and it just talks about praising God even in those desert spaces. And so if it's not familiar to you, just listen to the words. If you want to jump in as you're able to, I encourage you to do so. It's fairly simple to grab onto, but let's sing this really prayer together.
This is my prayer in the desert, when all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer in my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. This is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. There is a faith proved more worth than gold, so refine me, Lord, through the flame. And I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, so firm on His promise I'll stand. And I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. All of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to sing, I have a reason to worship. Sing that again. All of my life, all of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to sing, I have a reason to worship. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seeds I've received I will sow. The seeds I've received I will sow. The seeds I've received, I will sow. Yeah, God, we just thank You
that whatever season of life we are in, we can know and we can trust that you are still God, and that we still have a reason to sing and to worship simply because of who you are. And so, God, would you help us to do that? Because it can be hard when things are difficult, when we look around and we see so much chaos in our world, so much trouble, so much sorrow, so much hate. God, it can be hard to see past those things and to remember just who you are and the hope that we have in your kingdom, which is coming. So God, would you help us to lift our eyes, to just focus on you and on who you are, your character, which your word says is good and faithful and true. So yeah, we bring you this offering of praise this morning. Yeah, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we pray these things in your powerful name. Well, I invite you to take a seat, kids. It has been a pleasure to have you singing with us and worshiping with us, but I invite you to head to the back at this time where Shyla is waiting for you, and she is going to take you up to your kids' time. And the rest of us, like I mentioned, this is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, and so I just want to direct your eyes to this video that kind of gives a little bit of an overview of this season, and then we're going to read some scripture and pray together. So check out this video. I love that just idea of us partnering and following Jesus into the wilderness as he undergoes this time of testing. And so we're going to read that passage from Scripture. So we're going to look at Luke 4, verses 1 to 13. So let's read this together. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. No kidding. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, notice how he's trying to quote scripture himself, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. I love how each time Jesus responds with scripture. It's a good reminder for us as well. But yes, in this season of Lent where we do this following of Jesus into the wilderness, into the desert, I just want to lead us through this prayer that as we kind of journey through this season, it's a bit of a season where it's an anticipation, kind of like Advent before Christmas. It's this anticipation, this excitement, this looking towards the hope of Easter. And yet we kind of have to sit in the desert while we do that. And so I'm going to just read this prayer, and at the end I'll pray a little phrase, and at the end I'll say, we need you, God. And then I invite you to respond afterwards all together saying, we need you, God. And just admit that need for God to walk with us during this time. So let's pray this together. Because temptation is woven into the fabric of our lives, and we sense the weariness of 40 days in the desert, and the beckoning power of sweet fruit, and the vain promises of the world, we need you, God. We need you. Because we are easily distracted, and in our busy schedules, time with you is often the first to be skipped, causing us to lose sight of your kingdom, causing us to lose sight of you. We need you, God. We need you, God. Because we trust in what we can see, and we are blinded by our prejudices, and we do not know what we do not know. We need you, God. We need you, God. Because our need for correctness exceeds our need for truth, and our excuses preempt the cry of the wounded, and our celebration of blessing is mindless of those displaced. We need you, God. We need you, God. Because you came among us and breathed into our dust-made souls and healed our pain and let us wound you and loved us to the end and triumphed over all our hatred, we need you, God. We need you, God. Amen.
Need to pause things online and get some elements, or if you're here in the room, you can just go to the back and grab those. Well, how you doing this morning? You doing okay? Yeah, it's a little upside down right now, isn't it? Yeah, life is a little bumpy right now. I think it's bumpy for us as individuals. I think it's bumpy for us as humanity, truly. Last week, as you know, we entered into this world war. Not we. We sit here, beautiful, drive, you know, sunny outside and all, but the men and women in the Ukraine, the men and women of Russia, and we've been praying and hoping and dreaming for a better day. And we want to spend a few minutes in prayer again, but one of the prayers that we were praying last week together, and I hope some of you were praying on your own as well, was for the churches, for the Christians, not only in the Ukraine, as I said last week, but also for the Christians in Russia. And I just read a really cool story this morning
about some churches in Russia that are gathering together supplies and are delivering them to people in the Ukraine. Isn't that great? I mean, we live in these just polarizing, hard times. And so I just want to give you a moment or two. I'm going to give you some silence just to kind of pray to God, whether it's about the Ukraine war, whether it's about some war that's going on in your own life. I encourage you to take a moment just to do that, and then I'll lead us in prayer together. Father, we come to you. We need your wisdom. We need your understanding. Spirit of God, we need your peace. We need your peace within this world in which we live, where warring is not just a phrase, it's a reality. And Lord, we recognize, and as we're kind of into this second week with this invasion by the Russian army of the Ukraine, that this one is on the front of our news cycle. It's in the front of our brains. And yet there are factions and wars and civil battles taking place in various spots throughout our world. Lord, it's not our best. We need your best. We need your kingdom to come. We need your peace. We need for men and women, Lord, as I thought about last week, we need some Joseph and Esthers who have the ears of these leaders, of these men and women in these boardrooms to be able to win the day, to be able to sway and move a conversation and to maybe share something in a new light. Lord, we need you to do dreams. We want these leaders to have these dreams that just alarm them, that just call them just up short. They recognize what they're leading is wrong. And so, God, we continue to pray for the church, for the Christians, for the men and women in these different parts of the world, and specifically as we think of the Ukraine and Russia. I thank you for the story that I just read this morning of these Christians in Russia who are blessing men and women and children in Ukraine, their so-called enemies. Thank you for a love that goes beyond political boundaries and just sees men and women and children just as they are, your children, created in your image with incredible value. So thank you for that, God. We pray this is so far beyond our ability to control. We look to you, God. Please reach into that situation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Kim rightly did and led us into, we are in the season of Lent. The season of Lent, if you like, is where we can wrestle and should wrestle with this thing called life. The life that we have been given and the life that we are to live out. What will it be like? What will the focus be? As we talked about last week, you know, whose kingdom is going to win the day in our lives? Whose kingdom is going to come in and through our life? I talked about how last week that John, those first opening words in the book of John, says that in him is life, in Jesus is life. And we celebrate that, and we want to lean into that. But what does that really look like? What does that mean? Because what we start to understand, as Kim shared with us, just that opening reading, that in the life of Christ, there is struggle. And so therefore, do we expect it to be any different for us? In him is life, but the struggle is very much real. We have Jesus heading off into the desert, into the wilderness, being led by the Spirit of God, it says. And he's tested. And he's tempted. And he's being challenged to whose kingdom is going to win the day in his life. Now, we need to understand, he was tempted more than three times. He was tempted various, like, throughout the whole time. These three temptations are kind of like summaries, reminders, like sort of the big picture of what these temptations were like, what Satan was trying to get at him around. And he comes to him with that first one. Do you remember? Like, he's hungry. Jesus, why don't you just turn these stones into bread? Like, that was a legitimate need that Jesus had at that very minute. There is no doubt about it. Jesus, you shouldn't be struggling. Why are you struggling? Just have something to eat. Just do one of your things and eat. And that's important. Eating matters. But Jesus wanted to remind us, and this temptation reminds us, that there's more than just the physical needs that we have on this earth. And they matter. But Jesus came to speak to us about our spiritual needs, the hunger of our souls. And he chose not to follow the temptation of the evil one. Satan comes along, the devil comes along, and goes, hey, listen, I know, you know, I'm you know, presuming a little bit into the conversation. This, you will not find this in Scripture. But you can sort of get this sense from the devil and Jesus are having, hey, listen, I know you're kind of preparing yourself for ministry. Hey, why don't we kick this ministry off with some real style and get some style points going, and that'll really draw you a crowd, right? Like, let's throw you off the side of this building and God will step in and woo, swoop you up and you won't be hurt or harmed and everything, and it'll be fantastic. It'll be an amazing start. And Jesus goes, yeah, that's not the way this is going to play out. Because in this world, we will face times of trouble and struggle. And it will not always be easy. And I'm not going to put my God to test. That's not what this is all about. I'm going to trust him no matter what I face. The third temptation is just the ultimate power play, if you like, and it's on a really grand scale, like whose kingdom, what are the kingdoms, like what is really all important in all of life. And listen, he says, look, I can give you all this stuff. Jesus, I can give you all this. It's kind of ironic. Jesus is the one that created all of this stuff, but anyhow, Satan's trying to have a little power play here, right? I can give you it all. And Jesus says, no, actually, I'm going to worship my God. I have no other God before me. Yeah, there's all kinds of amazing things and kingdoms and ideas and ideologies and all these things. But that's not what this life is truly all about. Jesus, you deserve this, is what he's saying. Jesus goes, no, that's not the way we get it. That's not what it's all about. You see, in Jesus is life. And yes, although the darkness will not overcome it, there will be darkness. And Jesus kicks off his ministry, like kicks off his public life, and he demonstrates for us right away, listen, it's not always going to be up and to the right. It's going to be a challenge. And he kind of bookends it. If you've got a Bible and you want to turn to Matthew chapter 26, we're going to look at a few verses here. Kind of bookends his ministry. The start of his ministry is the temptation, and then the end we have him in the garden. And you probably remember the words here. They've had the Last Supper, right? They've been together, and Jesus is telling his disciples, this is coming. I'm going to be killed, and this needs to happen to bring God glory, to bring forgiveness of sins, to offer us a new life, The disciples are pushing back and fighting him and going, no, there's got to be a better way. And we come to it here in verse 36 of chapter 26. Then Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell down with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. These words have always got my attention. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, Jesus said. And he was so very real and honest before his Father. Father, if it is possible, if there is some other way, could you please take this from me? Like, this was real what was going on here. This was a challenge. This was hard. This was not easy. Yet not my will, but as you will. Such a surrender, humility, and truly, it's hard to fathom, isn't it? It's hard to kind of understand, how do we take this? Like, if we're to follow Jesus, right? We're to follow Jesus. What's our takeaway here? I mean, are there things in our life that we're maybe fighting against that we should be actually settling in on and kind of going, you know what, God, I don't like this. Is there some other way? Yet, not my will, but your will be done. Well, it couldn't be this because this life shouldn't be that hard. Who says? Ask the men and women in some of these war-torn countries. Can't imagine being one of the disciples, but if I was there, I probably would be one of the disciples because whenever I stop and sit down and pray, I fall asleep. And that's what happened to his team. Like, his guys. And he says something powerful there. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, in and of yourself, you will not be able to do this. But through the Spirit of God, you will. Like, we're understanding this, are we not? In him is life. It's not always going to be easy. Yet we have the Spirit of God to be able to walk through it. Just because life's hard doesn't mean the Spirit of God has left us. The Spirit of God actually led Jesus into the desert, into this time. Okay, well, that's Jesus. We can't really relate to Jesus. Well, let's think about Paul just a little bit here. Paul, he was the guy who was antagonizing the church, right? He was having Christians actually literally killed and put into jail. And Paul then one day becomes a Christ follower, becomes a Christian, freaked out all the Christians when he showed up to the first meeting because they were like, that's the guy that we are afraid of. And like, no, you don't need to be afraid of him right now. Are you sure? Like, I just cannot imagine what that would have been like. Like, that would have been terrifying. And yet Paul became a Christ follower, becomes a leader in the church, starting churches, walking with and helping strengthen men and women and families to follow God. And in this book of Romans, I referenced it a little bit last week, the book of Romans to the Christians throughout Rome where they were being persecuted and challenged for their faith. Paul, all of a sudden, kind of just gets honest, like gut level real with the people. And he starts to share with them just how incredibly hard it is to follow Christ and to live, if you like, in his kingdom and to have his kingdom become Paul's kingdom and his way of living. It says in verse 15 of chapter 7, I don't know what I'm doing, the thing I want to do, I don't do, the thing I don't want to do, I do. And you kind of hear this, ah, because he's so frustrated with himself. This is not who he wants to be. I desire to do good. In verse 18, it says, but I can't get there. The flesh, it says, desires, you know, rebellious kind of selfish things. And it seems to get its way in my life more than I want. This is so frustrating. I delight in God and his ways, and yet there's this incredible battle within me. Now, it's interesting to note that he shares this, and he shares honestly his struggle, and maybe for you, these verses have actually brought you a little bit of comfort because you're like, okay, if Paul can struggle, then I guess it's okay for me to struggle. And there's something good there for sure. But don't just stop there. Continue to go forward. And in chapter 8, right at the beginning there, just a powerful statement from Paul. He goes, yeah, I'm a screw up. Yeah, I've failed. I've dropped the ball. I've not followed God. I've surrendered myself, if you like, to some of these rebellious, selfish ways. I've hurt people. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I haven't done things I should have done. Right? Like, he's got all this going on. And then he goes, but listen, this is the amazing thing about God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Listen, you and I are going to screw up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to say things, do things, not do things, not say things. We're going to have our priorities out of whack. We are going to make mistakes. What we need to recognize and understand that is our God understands that, and that doesn't freak him out. That doesn't push him away. He understands that we live in the flesh, like we literally live in this world where there's all kinds of temptations and there's struggles and it's hard. He gets that. And in verse 3 of chapter 8, it says, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be made a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You cannot live this life that Jesus has called you to unless you live in the Spirit, through the Spirit, by the Spirit. Like Paul, you and I probably, I mean, you're here on a Sunday, so I kind of get the idea that you really would like to see the kingdom of God come, his will to be done in your life. Like, I hope you're not just coming here to check a box off. Like, woo, I did it. Kingdom came today. Yes. Between 10 and 11. Wonderful. I hope it's more than that. We have in our minds this idea that we want the kingdom of Jesus to come and not the things of the flesh that play on us. So we need to live by the Spirit. I love what he says, carries on in verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. Those of you who call yourselves Christ followers, who are trying your best to live and follow Jesus day in and day out, you are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is just such great promise for us. that although we continue to mess up, to make mistakes, to live in our own kingdom, to fall to temptation, the Spirit of God continues to dwell in us, continues to work in us. And the same Spirit that led Jesus, the same Spirit that helped Jesus throughout his ministry, the same Spirit that raised him to life, right? Like some of you are wondering, what's actually on the shirt? Who raised him to life is the same Spirit who dwells in you and who dwells in me. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, to destroy the flesh, and to give us the Spirit that we might have life in the midst of darkness, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of struggle. And you see, this is where our decision lies, if you like, day in and day out. Am I going to surrender myself, if you like, to the temptations of this world, as those three temptations just sort of gave us a broad overview? The values and rewards of the worlds, the standards, the brokenness of that. Is that the pursuit of the life that I'm going to live apart from Jesus? Or am I going to walk by the Spirit? To follow Jesus, to be compelled to live like him, just as he was led by the Spirit. To live like him in his way. With his who, if you like. His what. You see, we need to hear his words. We need to understand the words of Jesus. A lot of us, you know, have spent a lot of time reading and discovering, and we need to hear those words. As Kim pointed out earlier in the temptation, you noticed how he refuted every temptation with a proper understanding, with knowing God's will through his word. Through his story. We need to hear his words and listen, obey. He knew the scripture. We talked about it last week, right? When Peter's fishing and all that, and Jesus said, throw your nets on the other side. And Peter's like, why? And he said, but because you said so, I will. Defies my human logic. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm the fisherman, you're not. What are you doing? But because you said so, I will. We need to know what Jesus is saying. But we also need to see his ways. We also need to live like him. When you read the stories of Jesus, I hope you're doing that. Maybe that's what you need to, that needs to be your thing through Lent. Like you're going to read the Gospels, and not just once, but you're just going to pour yourself into the life of Jesus this season of Lent. Can you not just read it for the content? Can you read it so you actually see how Jesus lived? Like his interactions. How did he interact with people? If you like, who were his people? If you ask that question, it's going to surprise you a little bit, I think. Who did Jesus enjoy spending time with? What was Jesus' responses like? Who were the people that frustrated him? What were his questions? How did Jesus respond to those who opposed him? How did Jesus respond to those who let him down? Hey, we need to read for content, but we also need to read, like if we're going to follow him, we should follow him. And we should learn from his way. I mean, are there particular practice to emulate what he did? Well, certainly, if we know that Jesus prayed, actually prayed quite a lot. There were times where he spent entire nights in prayer. There were times where it mentions that he got up, went off to a solitary place. He spent time in solitude. And he prayed. He clearly understood the scriptures, and not only that, but he fasted. If these are the things that Jesus did, should they not be things that we do? Should we learn from him? Another point about Jesus that I think is fascinating is that Jesus chose to live in community. He didn't go alone. He had these people with him. Yeah, every once in a while he broke off in solitude and he went off by himself, but he chose to live in community. And so during this season of Lent, I don't know what this is going to look like for you. I don't know if it's going to be particularly a real desert time or not. I know you're going to be tempted because we're tempted all the time. I know that your sort of purpose in life is going to be challenged on a regular basis with decisions and conversations and how you calendar and where you put your priorities financially, where you put your priorities relationally. What is that going to look like for you? I pray and I trust that as we enter into this season this year, 2022, as the world is just on its head, that maybe we'll allow the world being on its head a little bit to do that to our lives and to really consider what matters. What is the purpose? What did Jesus say? How did Jesus live? What were the practices? How can I follow him? One said practice that he left us as a church is communion. And he was with his community, right? He was with his followers in the upper room. And he was having another conversation. And he was telling them how he was going to have to go. And of course, they didn't want that. I wouldn't have wanted that. You wouldn't have wanted that. Yet he said, I want you to tonight to take this bread and to take this cup, he said, and to do these things, like take them and use them as an opportunity to do this in remembrance of me. But I also want this to be something that goes forward. Whenever you do meet. And I think today we can use this as an opportunity just to kind of settle in a little bit and go, yeah, what is this? What are these next 30 to 40 days going to look like for me? How can God shape me? Like, let's not just do one day. Let's do this stretch and see what God wants to say to us throughout this next few weeks. What is he going to want to do? What is he going to want to say? And so I'm going to pray and then just give you some space to take this bread and just to consider your life. The way you live life. The bread represents his body, broken body, lived for us. Showed us how to live before the Father. So let me pray, and then let's just reflect. Dear Jesus, maybe it's a first world Western world thing. We tend to look at life and we think that if we're that if all things are good, then you're happy, and we're doing everything right, and yet. We saw from your life that your life was not always what we would consider good, and it certainly wasn't always full of happiness. There was sorrow, there was challenge. There was a willingness to set things aside for seasons, for purposes, in order for you to become greater and bigger in our life. And so, Lord, as we just pause for a few moments now, we want to take this bread. Represents your very life. We want to take this. We want to do this in remembrance of you, that our lives might in some way, compelled by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, informed by the Spirit, will be lived in true remembrance and in your way. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, just like Paul, we are people who struggle here on earth. We struggle with being able to follow you and to trust you, I suppose. And to use Paul's words, we end up following the flesh and the desires of this world and the temptations that the devil had for Jesus. We fall into those things and we get more concerned about, you know, those physical sort of everyday moment-to-moment things and maybe don't think about the ultimate things, our souls before you. And yet you knew that, and while you're on the cross, you cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And I just want to get in line there, Lord. I don't always know what I'm doing, and I'm frustrated like Paul. And yet you come along with those words moments later. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You forgive us. You restore us. Thank you. We take this cup now, Jesus, in remembrance of you.
I'm going to invite you to stand as we close by singing this hymn, "Be Still My Soul." To still ourselves and, yeah, learn to listen to that voice as we sing this. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief, O pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful way. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake. To guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All thou mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know. His voice soothed them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord.
and fear are gone. Sorrow for God, love's furious joys restored. Be still my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. In you I rest, in you I found my hope, in you I trust, you never.
One more time. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Let's just sing this together one more time. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to joyful end. Amen. Well, we are so glad that you were able to come and worship with us today. Just as we go from this place, we would love to connect with you. So if you're new here, there are cards in the chair in front of you, or if you're watching in online and you want to get connected, please go to our website. There's a place to connect there, but we would love to just get to know you, to get you connected into this community, because we're a family here, and so we got to get to know each other, right? And for those of you who have not received your charitable donation tax receipts, they have been sent out in emails, but if you are getting a physical copy, there's a table at the back of the room, and Eileen will be back there, and she can get you sorted with those. And if you have come prepared to bring offering, there is a plate in the back, or there's lots of online ways to give. We're so thankful for those of you who continue to support us financially for this ministry and everything that we are able to do here. So it's because of you, so thank you. As always, we will have people up at the front to pray with you. If you would like prayer, or if you would like to pray for someone else, please come forward. We'll have people available that would love to pray with you. Just as we go from this place, let me leave you with this benediction from Hebrews 12, verse 1, which just says, "Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us rid ourselves of every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us, knowing that the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit go with us. So go from this place in peace, and we'll see you next time. Have a good day.